The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. If the Packers do nothing else this offseason besides fill out their draft class, would it be considered a success? That's the conversation that the guys in the afternoon were having, KBN, which you can hear right here on ESPN Milwaukee each and every afternoon. And I think the answer is yes. I think the splashes made with Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs is enough to put them over the top, to tip the scales into success versus non-success. They're going to draft guys. It's not as though the draft will come and go and they won't add to the roster. Now, whether or not they can have a better hit rate than Goody has had in previous drafts, the last few notwithstanding, remains to be seen. But I think the significance of those two picks and the impact that you think that those guys are going to have on the defense and offense respectively, Chew, is enough to say that what Goody has done is success.
Yes, to date right now, but there's still question marks. Like right now, you know, I would give them a B plus, A minus, but there's still a little bit of a road to hoe here. I'm very concerned about the offensive line because I don't know if I would have let Yosh and Runyon go. I mean, because your next man up is Royce Newman, and that scares the hell out of me. So, I mean, all he's got to do is really replace him with guys, but there's no guarantees that the guy he drafts are going to be guys. So, I said it yesterday, I mean, an offensive line, a bad offensive line or an injured offensive line with no depth can derail a season. It can. It can limit your play calling with all these weapons if they cannot protect. So, that is my only question mark right now. He's got to fill those holes. He's got to get some depth. And like I said, there's no guarantee. So that's the thing that scares me.
No, I don't think you can say that. The Packers are a draft and develop team. Just because you sprinkle in a couple of free agents, which I don't want to make it confused. I'm happy with the guys that they went out and signed. But just because you signed two guys, if the core philosophy you have is draft and develop, well, then you got to find a couple of good guys. I mean, I don't care where you find them in the draft, but you're going to have to draft a few guys that end up contributing right away to the team. And that's the only way I think you consider any sort of offseason a success. So was last year an unsuccessful offseason because they didn't really sign anybody and they decided to kind of clear the deck and get young? I mean, just by signing two guys, I don't think that makes you successful in the offseason. I think these two guys are certainly going to be big parts of the Green Bay Packers, hopefully for more than just 2024, but so 2024 and beyond. But when your core philosophy of who you are as a franchise is draft and develop, then the draft has to be considered into a big part of that to determine if you had a successful offseason.
But I guess the assumption is if you're a draft and develop team, Gabe, you're going to draft and you hope that those players develop. Now, that's why I feel like the addition and going into free agency already tips the scales into the success. Because we think that these guys will be successful. We don't know. There could be injuries that obviously derail their trajectory, and that would be terrible. But when you look at the baseline of what the Packers have done so often, it is exclusively building through the draft. So this year they already went out and supplemented what you know they're going to do. Like, there's no reason to believe that they're not going to draft and develop because that's what they've always done.
Well, but I mean, what if they don't find an offensive line help and the offensive line is thin all year? You end up suffering injury somewhere and that ends up costing you a few games.
But
still a success off season? But are we still successful? I mean, just because you have the draft picks and you have to hit on some of those draft picks. I'm not saying you have to hit on all because that's unreasonable. And it's going to be harder for Goody to hit on a lot of these draft picks the way he did the last 2 years because, well, a lot of those guys were just forced to play. And I think that ended up working out in their favor where those guys were forced to play, they developed, and by the end of the year, they were ready to go.
Yeah, learn on the job.
Yeah, so like offensively, there's not exactly a lot of jobs open. Defensively, there are a few, but you have to be able to hit on some of those draft picks. If you have a draft the way you did back in 2017-18, versus 2021-2022, I don't know if I can sit here at this time next year and go, yeah, last offseason, big success.
But you would agree, though, if we were to rank positions from top to bottom, number one would be quarterback, in today's NFL, I'm saying number one would be quarterback, and number two would be skill positions on offense. And they nailed it. So the most important is taken care of.
Yeah, but also, I mean...
So, Gaethje, what you're saying is that it's weighted. The positions are weighted, and because they have already checked the boxes on the most important positions, he feels like that tips towards more successful.
Yeah, but again, you filled that last year. Like, what does that have to do with this offseason?
Well, I'm just saying we're in a good position
here. Oh, yeah, 100%.
A very good position.
But, I mean, you also said yesterday, Chu, that that one offensive line injury can derail a season very quickly.
And I might put offensive line third ahead of cornerback. I think cornerback probably 3A, 3B. No?
I think they
like because your cornerbacks, if you had massive injuries to the cornerback position or the players played subpar, that can derail a team as well.
Oh, yeah. I think you can go around and say that about a lot of different places, which is why football is so attractive as the ultimate team sport. Everything's just so connected.
But I think in today's NFL, your offense at the end of the day has to be able to win shootouts because you can recover from cornerbacks. Let's say that cornerbacks, they all get hurt. They suck. They give up 35 points. With this offense, at least you have a chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At least you have a chance to outscore the other team. That's why I might put the offensive line even ahead of a quarterback.
So it sounds to me...
It's an offensive-driven league.
It sounds to me, Gabe, like you're less of a it has not been a success and more of an incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying it's unsuccessful. I'm just saying right now it's incomplete. I'm not going to declare it a success. And it's you know, just because you...
It's trending
drafted
that way,
guys,
though.
Oh, yeah. We're off to a great start. But there's still, you nail the first couple of tests of the semester, right? Does that mean now you just get kicked back and take the rest of the semester off? Well, not if you want to get an A. I mean, I guess if you want to, seize to get degrees, if you want to kick up your feet and hope that the work that you did on the first couple of exams gets you a C.
Yeah, but they don't have that luxury. They don't have the luxury of seize, get degrees, especially
correct.
If they think this is the Super Bowl window for this team.
Correct. So there are still things that need to be done, whether that's signing another veteran free agent on the cheap to try to backfill some of the depth issues that you have, whether that's at safety, offensive line, inside linebacker, what have you.
So let's project this out, because I am curious then what you think would be a success. And if you want to, they obviously have a ton of picks. We have talked about that. We've talked about the picks that they have in the first 100 as well. We don't necessarily have to go hit rate specifically, but what would be a success? Where if, and you're not going to be able to measure it at the draft because it's not as simple as, well, they got an offensive lineman and they needed an offensive lineman. Well, they got a cornerback and they needed a cornerback. But what would measure, what would count as a success for you for this offseason?
Yeah, probably shotgun approach the offensive line in the draft. You know, hope one of those, if you draft three, you're hoping one of them can be a rotational guy. I think if you have six offensive linemen you trust, that's a good place to be in the NFL. I think most good teams have six offensive linemen they can trust. And when you have some of the versatility that the Packers look for in offensive linemen, you can kind of figure out the rest. All right, we've got six good guys. We'll figure out the rest as we go. So I think that's step one. Step two to me is finding, as much as they like McDuffie, I guess I'd like at least a little bit of competition there, a little bit of options of... McDuffie maybe is on the field when you're in base, but you have competition of, okay, who's coming off now when you're in nickel, when you're going to two? I want more inside linebackers there. It hasn't been a priority for the Packers in God knows how long, even though they did take Quay Walker in the first round. But we keep pointing out to these really good defenses in the league have one, if not two, good inside linebackers that can really help that defense. And I think that's going to be big, being strong up the middle.
I'm being aggressive in the draft, though. I'm being aggressive.
Like moving up?
What I mean by that, trading up. Instead of like trading up to get guys you really like instead of like, God, I hope he falls to us. I hope he falls to us, And I know you want to carpet bomb them with the numbers. What do they have? Five picks in the first 100?
Yeah,
91.
I'm at least packaging a two and the one to move up to get someone you really like. I mean, I know eventually you have to wait to see how the board plays out. But if it doesn't play out in their favor, I'm like, go get someone.
Wait, so sitting there at 25, you think they can get into the teens? Yeah. Like 18, 19?
If you package a one and a two? Wouldn't that get you? I know there's an equation.
And what are you going for in that spot, Shue? Are you going for an offensive lineman? Are you going for a cornerback? Are you going for a defensive lineman?
Just somebody he likes.
Just someone you like. Whether
makes his heart flutter.
Yeah.
Whether it's a corner, do you give Stokes one more shot, or do you already know what he is?
He's getting a shot.
I mean, he's getting that shot.
Okay. So I'm maybe moving up to get a linebacker, maybe moving up to get better tackle.
The linebacker, I don't think the value is there, linebacker that high.
Yeah, but if it's, what about second round? You know, higher up in the second round, that's where someone's being valued.
Yeah,
like they did. Like they did with Christian Watson.
Yeah.
What I don't want is an edge rusher. Don't get an edge rusher. Don't get an edge rusher.
You're saying with the first pick.
With the first pick. Because you drafted one last year and you just paid a guy a ton of money who's got to play football. Right, and then you have Preston Smith, who's a good number three.
Yeah, but you'd probably need a fourth.
The whole best player available, let me tell you what, is a bunch of crap.
Oh, yeah.
Is a bunch of garbage. It's the best player available at what position you need.
Tell you what, Chu, Packers needed some defensive players when they had two first-round picks, and shockingly, the best player available was a defensive lineman in Wyatt and an inside linebacker in Quay Walker. That's just shocking how that worked out. Those were the best players. How coincidental and fortunate for the Packers.
To put a bow on the making it successful, I think they need two long-term starters. You need to find two starters that are going to be consistent, like, I don't need superstar. I don't need you to hit like an absolute home run. But a guy's you probably are going to end up giving a second contract.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. A lot of people use the metric of did they sign a second deal with the team that drafted them as a sign of whether it's a success or not. It's too hard to compare and contrast the apples to oranges of stats from position to position. But if you sign a second contract with the team, that is That's universally seen as a success.
Yes, I agree. Like Stokes might not be a success. Might be a bust. Even though he's a decent player, you can get by with him.
I'm willing to bet that he's not going to get a second contract. I feel pretty
comfortable.
Right now?
You feel that way?
Yeah. I mean, they're not picking up a fifth-year option. Like, they're not going to do that this offseason, right? So he's going to go into next year, fourth year in the league. And I mean, if he stands out, but at this point with all the injuries he's had, I am not optimistic that he is going to be able to be the guy that he was his rookie year.
800-990-3776. Given what the Packers have already done this offseason, can you consider the offseason a success? You will not be able to gauge whether or not the draft is a success for maybe a couple more seasons. That's how we kind of give them that window of if we're using the metric of do they sign a second deal, well, we're not going to know that until the second deals roll around.
The best example of that's Darnell Savage. Like after his first couple years, oh yeah, here we go, baby. Second contract is someplace else. And so then you have to go out and get Xavier McKinney.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Top 8 at 8 coming up next, and we want to continue telling you about a couple of big things that we have going on. Thanalysis is happening tomorrow night at Pottawatomie. And guys, this is an all-ages show. What does that mean? That means that your kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, if they have always wanted to see Giannis up close and personal, this is your opportunity. Friday night at Pottawatomie, you can get tickets by going to taliveshow.com to access the limited tickets or text live to the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. That's taliveshow.com to see Giannis and a special guest for Thanalysis Live. That, of course, is at Pottawatomie tomorrow night, Friday night at the Casino Hotel Event Center. TALiveshow.com for tickets to see Giannis and Thanasis live and in person for a live show, Thanalysis at Pottawatomie.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight
that was
days of burgers?
Very condescending. I just
let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Sports and pizza just go hand in hand. So with the tournament kicking off today, you're going to be locked to your TV. You don't want to have to leave and have to worry about picking something up for dinner. Why not have some Palermo's Pizza in your freezer? You want to make sure you are stocked all weekend long. And the great thing with Palermo's is you can have different types and different tastes and different types of pizza because of Palermo's Urban Pie, Crani's Surfer Boy Pizza, Screaming Sicilian, all under the Palermo's roof. They've been doing this for 60 years, so it's no shock that they have all these different flavors and they've been able to knock all of them out of the park. So keep an eye out for Palermo's in your grocer's frozen food aisle because Palermo's is Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got today?
Simple list of 8 things in front of me. Jen and Chew guess back and forth. Once they each get one incorrect, we open up the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Last person to get the list, the last item on the list, that means they win our ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Simple today. Tournament kicks off. I'm looking for the last 8 men's basketball programs to win a national championship.
I feel like UConn is the easy answer, the most recent answer. Let's go with UConn, number one.
Number one, they won in 2023 and 2014.
What?
Not really strong. Louisville.
Louisville? It's the toughest one on the list, I thought. 2013, they are number 8
on
the list.
Wow, okay, so we bookended this bad boy already. We got the first one, we got the last one. Kansas.
Kansas won in 2022, number 2 on the list.
Can you stall a little bit, Jen?
Oh, sorry. Kansas.
Let's go with Duke.
Number 7, they won in 2015.
North Carolina.
One in 2017, they're number 6.
Baylor.
2021, number 3 on the list.
Okay.
Okay, so I did not think. Chewy's gotten the 2 toughest ones on the list for a guy who needed stall tactics. You guys, I think, now have a chance to run it.
Go ahead and reset it for me, please.
Number 1, UConn. Number 2, Kansas. Number 3, Baylor. UNC is 6. Duke is 7. 8 is Louisville. That's the last time I'm going to reset the list.
Virginia.
Number 4 on the list.
Gonzaga.
No.
I thought they won.
Well, they have. It's
no, they haven't.
No, they've never won.
They've never won a national championship.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought they did.
Well, I made it to the national. Like with all those, with the Morrison squad.
Oh, remember, you know, Morrison cried on the court.
Yeah,
famously.
I didn't remember that.
Oh, man, that's all I remember from the Morrison days. They made it to the national championship game, lost in a blowout to Baylor back in 2021.
I do have one more. I know that Villanova won.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. That's the list.
That's the list?
We that's it? Win.
That's it.
What we win?
ESPN Milwaukee prize
pack. Have we ever run a list before? Gabe, have we ever run
I don't
run
think so. No. Again, I'm shocked that Chewy got Baylor and
I would
Louisville.
Not have remembered Baylor, yeah, and I would not have those remembered tough Louisville.
Ones. I thought easy.
Wow, that's incredible, Chew. Nice work, bud. Teamwork,
Is that the championship they took away, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
We but, counted it.
Yeah. Screw the NCAA.
They still won it.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I remember it happening.
Exactly. Like Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Yes,
saw
exactly.
that happen.
You still watch those highlights from time to time.
We got a little bit of time here, so why don't we go ahead and talk about our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. We have already revealed the dining region. Gabe, what do you want to do next? You want to go bathroom? You want to go public? You want to go road?
Let's go public. I got public up right in front
All
of me.
All right. What do we got on the public region? Give me the March Madness music when you get a chance, Josh.
All right. So the public region, again, just kind of a hodgepodge of things that we put together of things that people do in public spaces that are just very frustrating and annoying.
Unacceptable.
The number one seed in the public region, speakerphone. Literally anywhere.
That's right. Number one. It's going to be tough to knock that off, actually, because if you are walking around in any public space having a full-blown conversation on speakerphone, you should be in jail. Right? With Otani. Allegedly.
Otani's interpreter is the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, interpreter.
Yeah, yeah, his interpreter is the one who's potentially lined up
who
to serve some federal
predators. Who is speakerphone literally anywhere going up against in this region?
The number 8 seed, grocery store spatial awareness.
What does that mean, grocery store spatial awareness?
Those people who, hey, I need some milk. And yet they stand there with their carts, either just looking through all the milk or having a conversation with a pal they know. Like, look, I need to open that door. Your cart's blocking the you're not the only one here. I'm trying to get in and out. I don't want to spend all day at the grocery store. Please move so I can grab my can of beans.
All right, number 3 on the public spaces.
Walking 3 wide. So whether it's on whether it's in the airport, whether it's on a sidewalk, whether it's in a mall, wherever you are, walking 3 wide, it's kind of frowned upon. It's tough to get around you. You gotta be aware of where other people are and can't block up the entire walkway.
I imagine 3 wide would be an issue down in Florida where Chew is.
Yes.
And a lot of folks walking and conversing, and you don't want to leave somebody out.
The grocery store is worse. It's horrible down here.
Wow, right. Maybe there's an upset brewing there. Who is walking 3 wide going up against?
See, this is where I think an upset could potentially happen. Leaving dirty dishes, cups in the sink. And this one hits close to home. And this is really more of a... I mean, if you do this in your own home, that's on you and whoever you live with to figure out. But when you are at work, and we, as a company, we here at Good Karma Brands Milwaukee suck at this. We are the worst at this. I could walk out to the sink right now and see way too many dirty dishes down here. And I don't know what you think you're doing by leaving those dishes in there. There's no maid service here that's going to come clean up after you. Clean up after yourself, you filthy pig.
But I'll take it one step farther with the grind. Gabe, with the grind, who does the dishes, wash down the sink of all the food that came off the dishes.
Oh,
don't leave it there because burger hardens up where you now have to lift up the screen and get the scrubber and loosen all that stuff down.
Do you feel like you are doing yourself a service by continuing to refer to your wife as the grind on this show?
She's at the doctor, so I'm good. Okay.
Again, she calls him brain injury. I understand the want to punch back there.
Let's move to the bottom half of that bracket, Gabe. What do we have as the number 2 seed in the public region?
Cutting the line.
Oh, the worst. Is it worse to cut the line or to be on speakerphone literally anywhere? These two would not meet until the semifinals of this region to move on to the finals. Cutting in line is just so disrespectful.
I think it's worse. Because if you're on speakerphone, like, I can now laugh at whatever conversation you're having. It doesn't really affect me. It's more annoying. If you cut in line in front of me, that's actually affecting me. Now I have to wait longer to get whatever I want to get to because you cut in line.
And it's a total disregard for the other people who have been waiting patiently, following the rules, to think that you are more important and what you need to do is more important than what they need to do. I did say this when we had our little powwow meeting. The only time I feel like this is acceptable is if I have a child who has to go to the bathroom and doesn't have the bladder control yet, and then I will simply say, hey, I'm so sorry. She needs to use the restroom. Would it be okay if we moved ahead?
No, it doesn't matter.
What am I going to do? Stick her butt in the sink?
Yeah. Figure it out. Because there are too many people that abuse that privilege, Jen. Abused and used their kid to cut lines. Sorry. Your kid now has to pee their pants because everybody else ruined it for you.
I'll take it one step farther down here in the gym down here. It is so annoying. People have their earbuds in, but they're conducting business out loud while they work out.
Yeah, that's similar to the speakerphone. Yeah. Similar. It's not exactly the same, but it is similar.
Who is
cutting the line going up against, Gabe?
Coffee counter line etiquette. So I'm looking at you. I'm standing in line. I just want a black coffee. Now you get up there and you're going, ooh.
Yeah.
I had that last week. That wasn't good. Maybe I'll... And then you're not ready. Step up, make your order, stand to the side. It's not that difficult. You're ordering something from a coffee shop. It's not your first time.
Does this include a maximum number of changes to an order as well? You know, we laughed a few years ago about that lengthy receipt that had all of those amendments and all of those changes to the order. Does this include that?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Do you really need the oat milk skim? I mean, if you are making 4 or 5 additions to your coffee order, Like, just figure out a way to make that at home.
I've instated a rule that if I'm ordering for anybody, you get one addition or subtraction.
Wow.
That's it. I'm not I'm not going through the line.
Now who's Mussolini?
And dictating and having to remember your order of operations, your PEMDAS here to get a damn caffeine drink. Just order it and deal with it. Be an adult.
All right. What's our last matchup in the public region?
This is, again, I think this is underseated. I can't stand this one. Shoes off anywhere. Unless you're at the beach. If you are in a public forum, I'm talking about the airport. I'm talking about the airplane. I am talking about your office. If you are walking around without shoes on, you need to reevaluate some life choices. I did not leave my house to go see your feet.
So the exceptions to that are, you mentioned the beach.
The beach, yes.
The pool.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yes.
And then a nail salon where you are actually getting a pedicure or maybe some sort of...
Again, those are places that are expected because, again, you're not jumping in the pool with shoes on, right? Now I'm judging you the other way if you're jumping in the pool with shoes on. But yes, if it's expected to, you know, you're going to take your shoes off at those certain places.
And that is up against?
Ignoring, wow... That's crazy.
This is underseated to me.
In any conversation.
This is underseated. If you're one of those people who are listening to a conversation and you say, wow, that's crazy, it is understood that that is the universal message to shut the hell up. I have now listened to your story longer than I would like to. I have reacted to your story with a wow, that's crazy. Hi, Jason Woody, outside of the studio windows. If I say wow, that's crazy twice, that's on you now. Wow, that's crazy is understood to be, let's move this bad boy along.
Now, I didn't know that.
Of course you didn't. Of course you had no clue.
Wait, what?
Of course he had no idea.
I had no idea.
If someone says, wow, that's crazy twice, you didn't know that that was a signal? Universal?
I thought I was being interesting.
I thought he was doing a really good job at telling the story.
Yes.
Dazzling details.
Now I know.
All right, so that is our public bracket. We have one more to reveal or two more to reveal?
We got
I'm
two
not
left.
Even sure. All right, we got a couple got more to reveal.
More.
One more to officially reveal, one more that we can talk through as well. Have you guys tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need, that I need, to stay active and energized all day long. And trust me, I need Celsius to give me the energy to get through this show, to get through the number of things that I have to do on any given day. You can find your Celsius at your local Pick and Save stores or online at Amazon.com. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. That's Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on.
Talked an awful lot about my best purchase, that sauna that I got at the State Fair from Good Health Saunas. I am telling you, the wellness and health that it has given me, I can't say enough about it. Extra energy, the flexibility I feel, the recovery, my skin looks better with the amount of travel, the detoxification benefits, all of it are so worth it. I am sleeping better when I use my Good Health sauna, and you can feel the same. Go to their website. It's goodhealthsaunas.com. Check out the infrared saunas that they have for you. See what size would work for you. See what benefits you are interested in, and then give my friends over there a call and see if they can hook it up for you. Goodhealthsaunas.com is the website. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. Feeling very fortunate to have not one, but now two appearances from Jason Wilde here as he is sitting in studio with us. And Jason, we are going to continue revealing our brackets for the grievance bracket here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What have you heard so far? You heard the dining?
First of all, don't just pretend I'm not here. Don't let me interrupt
too late.
Your
no.
show. You
gotta
let
me.
Oh, this is a treat.
I barely have my headphones on. I was just sitting here. I wasn't on camera. It was great. So you guys just
you
do your thing.
No,
I don't want to
I
don't want you interfering when we're interrupting. What's the line in Seinfeld? When we're intervening, I don't want you interfering or something like that.
We have already done the dining region. We just did the public region. Gabe, should we reveal? We have the road region, which we talked about briefly.
I think we should do the road region, especially with Jason, because Jason's on the road more than anybody. kind of have Jason give his takes on what some of these mean to him as somebody who's constantly driving his children.
All right,
here,
cue
there,
up the
and
music
everywhere.
For me, Joshy. We're going to go to the road region of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. Gabe, we already talked about how the number one is the slow driver in the left lane. Who is that up against?
That is up against the 8-seed zipper merge ignorance. People who don't know how zipper merges work, especially in this state where zipper merges happen all over the place because of all the road construction. It's something we struggle as a society.
Jason, you have a thought on those two? The slow driver in the left lane, the number one overall seed in the road region, versus the zipper merge ignorance, the 8-seed.
I don't know how many times an 8-seed has beaten a 1-seed in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy brackets, but that's a good one. But I still think that number one seed is a big, powerful one. It's going to be hard to beat.
Number three seed, last second exit. The person going all the way from the left lane, zipping all the way over to the right lane to try to cut everybody off because they're in a hurry. Or, and this is a tough one, because either you have to do this intentionally with vehicles now or have a vehicle of a certain make and model that's older, because a lot of things just automatically turn your headlights on for you. No headlights. No headlights is the sixth seed in the road region.
Somebody was driving around the Target parking lot by us the other day. No headlights.
Tough.
Is that worse than brights on when you're coming at you? Like leaving your brights on? That happened a lot in the Muguanago area, driving those back roads.
I feel that is, yes, you and me and probably Chewy back in the day being small town kids. You know, like that's happening more on the back roads. Like if you're in the city, you're not turning your brights on ever.
I forgive a brights.
Yeah.
Because I think the brights are being used in order to have better
visual,
yeah. Right? Be able to see better. So you're already taking that extra step in order to be able to drive better. If you forget that you have them on, well, you know, I would prefer you turn them off so that it's not staring me in the face, but I kind of forgive a brights.
So, all right, let me ask you this. Someone who, coming at you, you think they think that your brights are on when they're actually not. Do you just blast them in the eye with your brights?
Sounds like you may be speaking from experience here, pal.
Just a little bit. Half a cup.
oddly specific question. The number two seed in the road region, no turn signal, versus the 7-seed, gigantic vehicle arrogance. Those big vehicles that think they just own the road.
Okay, Chewy doesn't use his turn signal. We've already established this.
And Jen has a big vehicle that she thinks she owns the
Chewy
road with.
Chewy also has a big vehicle.
This seems like a Jen versus Chewy matchup here in the road region.
I think that not using a turn signal is more egregious than this quote-unquote vehicle arrogance, gigantic vehicle arrogance. The turn signal is specifically there to alert the other people on the road as to your intentions, to let them know what
optional.
You are planning. It is not optional. It is very clearly mandatory. And I think that the turn signal, when you don't do it, it's a selfishness. You're being selfish is what you're doing.
That's lazy.
And the lines on the road exist for a reason, too. Just because you have a big vehicle and don't know how to control it in the lane that's assigned.
I'd argue that's selfish,
I should not
too.
Be, yes,
this
also
got
selfish.
Very personal all of a sudden.
No.
Finally, in the road region, parking lot awareness is the 4-seed, whether that's taking up multiple spots or this is the one that I can't stand. If you're sitting there waiting for somebody else to pull out of a spot, and I'm sitting behind you, I don't care that you're getting the great spot. Let me move on. I want to park too. I have to now wait for you to park so I can park? No, I want to just go park in the back of the lot, because if you let me do that, I can park and walk into the store before you even park because you're sitting there waiting.
Oh, able-bodied brag. I also don't like it when people sit in their spot and scroll through their phone. Like, if you've got a prime parking spot in the Target parking lot, like, move on. Nah. You loaded up your stuff. I'm waiting for the spot. Get off your phone.
Don't
my
wait for
spot
till I leave.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Somewhere else.
We are just like diabolically.
Don't wait for the spot. Go pick a different
You're
spot.
Out on waiting for the spot. Yeah, I'm never. Out on you sitting in the spot and taking it up. And that goes against
horn abuse. People who are honking their horn at anything and everything. Horn abuse is number 5.
Jason, Chewy. Do you use your horn?
I've been known to use it on occasion. however, I'm glad my situation when I arrived here at the 3rd Street Market Hall on the Avenue did not get included where it is. Drove through the parking garage, made a wrong turn, and had to exit the parking garage and then come back in, which was a little embarrassing.
Wait, I don't want to go this way.
I had a horn issue yesterday, and this just annoys the daylights out of me. When we are at a stop, we are at a traffic light, it turns green. The car in front of you is sitting there because they're clearly texting. I hit the horn, and the guy flipped me off. I mean, what are you doing?
Isn't the horn just an audio flip-off, though?
Basically, yes.
It kind of is, but if you're sitting there texting and it's been 10 seconds before you moved, that's on you.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think you have to figure out baseline. What is the time period that you're willing to sit? Three seconds?
Yeah.
Three.
It's a three count.
I'm fine with that.
I'm just generally supportive of anyone giving Chewy the finger.
Jason, can I ask you a question? Because I didn't get to it. In your
Do you want to do that after the break, or do you want to do that
Oh,
now?
We don't break. We take this right up until 52. Jason, the proposed new kickoff rule, does that hurt Keyshawn Nixon or help Keyshawn Nixon?
What did Keyshawn say?
I think it definitely hurts him, and it definitely hurts most kick returners, right? Like, I didn't watch enough XFL. I know Gabe is a big minor league professional football viewer. Now that they've merged, I only have to keep track of one. But I said this to Keyshawn at one point during the season. I asked him how he feels about the NFL basically trying to get rid of his job, and he said, they're not getting rid of me that easily. So that would explain why he was bringing the ball out from 9 yards deep on a regular basis. And he's like, what's a fair catch on a kickoff? I've never heard of that. And when he said that, there were some people around us that said, well, they were starting to explain it, and Keyshawn was like, no, I don't think you're getting the joke there. So he's not fair catching kicks. He's bringing it out of the end zone. I'm curious to see how this rule works. I think their heart is in the right place, trying to reduce injuries further. But I don't think you can take a position completely out of the league. I did think it was interesting that Troy Vincent basically admitted publicly several months ago that they're just trying to eliminate the kickoff. They just are, and there's no two ways about it.
What I was interested by is that the XFL one has like a landing zone where they want the ball, and then it's more prohibitive to just kick it out of the end zone where it comes out to the 35 is the speculated idea.
Mm-hmm.
So as it stands, if the ball is in play and teams just don't say, I don't care, take it at the 35 versus, because like it's more conducive to kickoffs if it does land in that landing zone, because the guys are only so far apart. So I'm interested to see, because I mean, they're going to figure it out. They're going to gamify it like they do everything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like allowing it. A kickoff or not at all?
Chewy, you were going to say something.
I don't like it at the 35, Jason, because your mindset as an offense totally changes. Okay, so if you start at the 20 or 25, you're like, all right, here we got to, you know, it's going to take two move the chains to get to the 50, where now it's just like one, and then your mindset changes to where it's go time.
Right? Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to, if it gets passed, how it works exactly, but I think Josh made the point that's most important. They always seem to figure it out. They always figure out a way to game the system.
We have one more bracket to reveal here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Before we do, Gabe, let's hear from you.
Ewald makes it easy. It's a promise they made in 1964, and it continues now 60 years later, making car buying easy for families across southeast Wisconsin. So celebrate Ewald Automotive's 60th anniversary special with savings on over 1,300 vehicles. Shop the easy way with lowest prices guaranteed. And with Ewald, you know you're going to be backed by Ewald's exclusive 20-year, 200,000-mile warranty. So hurry in now to Ewald's 60th anniversary sale. Ewald makes it easy by starting with ewaldauto.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
The very last bracket in our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket is the bathroom region. Gabe, what do we got?
Number one seed is pee on the seats. Walk into the bathroom, public bathroom, and somebody has not been able to control their flow and is all over the seats. Taking on number 8, only electric hand dryer, which I know, again, hits close to home, especially here in our studios, Jen.
We're not allowed to have paper towels. It's the strangest thing. They only let us use the electric ones.
3-6 matchup. Number 3, motion detection faucet, which again, hits close to home for you. I don't know if Jen is actually alive or just a ghost because she cannot get the motion detect faucet to work in the bathroom.
I have done full-on dance routines in front of that thing, like, you know, crazy stuff, bye-bye-bye and stuff to get that thing to work, and nothing. So maybe it's a me thing, maybe it's a user error, but I have a real issue with the motion detection faucets.
Does it work better after you've gotten a spray tan?
No. You would think I'd be more visible, right? Like a darker and whatnot. No, it doesn't like it.
Number 6, again, this is a tough one because so many automatic, but when you walk into a bathroom that does not have the automatic flush, if somebody forgot to flush, again, this could be underseeded as a 6 seed. The number 2 seed in the bathroom region, long lines at the venue, taking on, this is my least favorite one, even though it's the 7 seed, talking. Let me walk into the bathroom. Let me handle my business in peace. I don't need to be having a conversation with you about the crazy weather that's about to come. No, I just want to, you know, I've got my unit in my hand. I should not be talking.
Unit?
It's crazy to me.
To Betsy.
It's crazy to me how much this bothers Dave.
Oh, it's crazy.
If you say anything to him within the confines of the bathroom, he will lose his mind.
If I happen to be going number 2 and you're trying to have a conversation with me, no, let me do that in peace, please.
And the last two on that are...
Number 4 is urinal etiquette. Again, proper spacing, people. And number 5, out of toilet paper.
Can't spare a square. That is the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. We will be going through those all next week. We will let you know if you were assigned a specific team. Thanks for listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Taos with Jason Wildy. It's coming up next on ESPN Milwaukee.